Now, if you ever read the little description at the bottom of each of these hymns, it's an interesting read. I Would Be True, it's My Creed. It was written by Howard Walter. Now, he just wrote the first two stanzas, by the way. The third one's just an addition. But the first two stanzas of this hymn, My Creed, it's a poem that Walter sent to his mother from Japan, where he taught English before becoming a congregational minister. And he died at the age of 35. He was working for the YMCA in India at the time. So a little history there with each of these hymns. After he received the prestigious Nobel Prize for his work on quantum electrodynamics, Richard Feynman said, "I don't know anything about the Nobel Prize. I don't understand what it's all about. I don't understand what it's worth. But if the people in the Swedish Academy decide that X, Y, or Z wins the Nobel Prize, then so be it. I don't like honors. I appreciate it for the work that I did and for the people who appreciate it. And I know there's a lot of physicists who use my work. I don't need anything else. I don't think there's any sense to anything else. I don't see that it makes any point that someone in the Swedish Academy decides that this work is noble enough to win this prize. I've already got the prize. The prize is the pleasure of finding the thing out, the kick in the discovery, the observation that other people use my work. Those are the real things. And therefore, the honors are unreal to me. I don't believe in honors. It bothers me. My papa brought me up that way." Feynman goes on to say that when he became a member of the National Academy of Sciences, he ultimately had to resign because here was an organization spending most of its time choosing a famous or illustrious or Nobel Prize winner who also would be allowed to join the organization and who would have to answer certain questions that would make the other chemists and physicists agree that this person indeed would fit in while another person would not. Feynman said, "What's going on here? What's wrong with chemists anyway? What's the matter with chemists?" The same question needs to come to us as Christians. What's the matter with Christians? Feynman's point can apply to Christianity, you see. How many people will we allow into our little Christian club? You know what the proper password or phrase is, and if anyone comes up with a different password or phrase, well, that individual just won't fit into our club. The password phrase I'm most accustomed to hearing is, "I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior." Typically, this acceptance happened on a distinct date. To prove one's biblical knowledge, the reference to the password phrase is, of course, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." And further, using the Bible to prove one's stance on certain current social issues, including who to vote for as our president, yields the ultimate eternal life dividend. If I can't agree with the current so-called Christian group think, then I'm labeled unbeliever. One may hear about those who are unchurched, but the word unbeliever, that's much stronger, because unchurched means that these folks still might have some hope of salvation. Unbelievers, on the other hand, have intentionally decided against the Christian password and must therefore be left behind. But none of that is important to being a Christian, and for that matter, none of that is important to being a member of any religious group, Buddhists, Muslims, Jews, Hindus. What all of these religions have in common are the themes of justice, kindness, humility. Or as Mahatma Gandhi once said, "My aim is not to convert others to my own religion, but to help people figure out how to become better human beings within their own religious context." So the whole point of any Bible study is the kick of discovery, the pleasure of finding the thing out, of opening the Bible or any religious book in search of being righteous, acting with goodness, and asking questions and debating the issues, and searching for common meaning and purpose and love with a group of others whose sights are set not on what can be achieved for me, but what can be created for us. Bill said that beautifully in his talk. Not for me, but for us. I recently heard someone quoting the Bible, saying, "To know the truth and not to tell it is a sin." The actual quote, however, it's from James chapter 14, verse 17, and it reads like this: "Anyone then who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it commits sin." Another quote that sometimes you'll hear is, "Money is the root of all evil." That's another one. It's not money is the root of all evil. It is the love of money is the root of all evil. Putting this love of money above human beings, above others. It's loving it. That is to say, when it comes to Scripture, either we can mangle and mix up what was originally intended by the authors of the texts, or we can provide proof for any sort of bad behavior just to claim its legitimacy. As the saying goes, even the devil can quote Scripture for his purposes. Ultimately, what is demanded in our religious faith is a wrestling with questions, discovering not answers, but more questions, not to find the Bible as full of the solutions to life's dilemmas, but rather as a way of struggling with life's dilemmas. And that is why the scripture shared earlier by Catherine about Jacob wrestling with the man, it carries so much meaning. The man he is wrestling with is possibly himself. Jacob is struggling over decisions he has made during his life, good decisions, bad decisions. But in the wrestling, realizing that he has discovered some things out about himself and his God, and that he has become a better person, even through all of those missteps. Point being, why allow someone else to do the wrestling in our lives? Let us engage in the wrestling for ourselves. Anyway, read the scriptures, make your own choices, and take pleasure in finding the thing out for yourselves rather than allowing someone else to do it for you, tell you what to believe. As Laura Jacobson Pensis shared last week, ask good questions, take time to do some investigation for yourselves. That is why I always advise two things. First, any human being who says that he or she knows everything about anything in religion or politics or otherwise, and who demands your mindless, absolute obedience as if he or she were God, is to be avoided. That person is a narcissist. God is one. No human being was, is, or ever will be God, including Jesus. Jesus wasn't God and didn't want people to fall down and worship him. That is a sacrilege. Rather, we should seek what Jesus sought. And second, beware of any religious group or scientific gathering or any mob that says they are right and everyone else is wrong. No one possesses the entire truth. We each have portions of the truth in should share as much as this is possible, our pieces of truth as we journey through our life together. Amen.